exactly what man needed. He created us. He knows us in our fallen state. And these Ten Commandments are such a well-rounded guide for living, aren't they? But before that, Roy, are you the one who put this together? Where's Roy? Yeah. So the pictures are good, eh? They're accurate. You got Sparks and Wall, you got kids jumping around, men's fellowship, you got volleyball. Why do we have skiing at Young and Hearts Fellowship? I just don't picture Marguerite going skiing. But maybe, you know, maybe it's just me. Had to give you a hard time, brother. Were you going skiing, brother? Well, there you go. They're going to go to the snow. Yeah. So what's the first commandment? No other gods. The first and most important. Second, no idols or graven image. The third, God's name. Amen? So those three are about Almighty God. He is a jealous God. Amen? Then the fourth is the sign one between God and his people Israel. It's the Sabbath day. Number five is the first commandment with promise. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Six. Is it kill? And then seven. Adultery. Eight. Don't steal. Last week, nine. Don't bear false witness. And number 10, verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So thou shalt not covet. Let's pray. Give us wisdom, Lord, and use your word now to teach us. We thank you for your word. How beautiful, how amazing it is. And Lord, I pray that as we contemplate covetous tonight, that we would check ourselves regularly on this weakness of ours, and that you would do a miracle in our hearts through this time in Christ's name. Amen. So don't covet other people's houses, their wives, their possessions. Covetousness is one of those dangerous ones, isn't it? It can lead to theft, which is another one of the commandments. It can lead to adultery, as we see here. And then we have in Joshua chapter 7, I guess we won't turn there, but the story of Achan. and Achan ended up, he and his family, stoned to death. For what? I coveted the Babylonish garment, the piece of gold, and so forth, when God gave us Jericho. I coveted something. I took it. My eyes saw it. I wanted it. I took it and I hid it in my tent. And thousands of soldiers died because one man coveted something because they lost their next battle. And then Psalm 119:36, let's turn there. David asking God for help in this weakness of ours in our flesh. Psalm 119, verse 36. David says, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. So David said, Lord, please keep my heart toward your word and not toward covetousness. So David recognized the danger of covetousness and how it can lead us away from God and his word. Then in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10, Solomon talked about it. So let's turn there in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10. He made an interesting observation about covetousness. He says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. So he's stating something about us in our fallen state, and that is, we're never satisfied. that yes, we have this problem with covetousness, but when we covet something, if we get it, it's not over, is it? We just covet more. And we're never satisfied. That's the problem with covetousness. And then in Micah chapter 2, just to get different sections of the Old Testament, if you want to turn there, Micah 2:2, God here is rebuking Israel for many sins, but specifically here in Micah 2, verse 2, look what he says, "And they covet fields and take them by violence." Talking about his own people, how they see a field, they want it, and what do? But actually take it by force. So covetousness can lead to theft, it can lead to adultery, it can even lead to murder. It's quite scary when you think about it, isn't it? And it's one of those sins that we all struggle with. And it's one of those aspects of being a human, a fallen human, that the advertising industry knows all about, don't they? If man wasn't covetous, there wouldn't be an advertising industry, would there? Think about the billions that they spend playing on our covetousness, trying to get us to want more, want so what we don't have. And again, if man wasn't weak in this area, there wouldn't be ads, would there? But there are, and they're everywhere. Why is that? Because we are covetous. Let's go to Luke chapter 12, where Jesus actually set aside an entire parable to warn us about covetousness. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. So Jesus deemed it important enough to actually tell us a parable and to give us the reason for the parable here in Luke 12, 15. "And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness." So we know the point of the parable is covetousness. Look what he says. "For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Now, he created us and he knows us in our fallen state. And he knows that it's about things, isn't it? It's about wanting more things. That's covetousness. And then he tells the parable. "He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." And so he tells us a parable about this rich man with so much stuff that he can't put his car in the garage. How many families can't put their car in the garage? Because it's full of stuff. It's true, isn't it? We are, well, yours doesn't count, brother. That's for the Lord. But we have a weakness here. God knew this. That's why he rounded out the Ten Commandments with this last one. He repeats it in Romans 13:9, thou shalt not covet. So let's look at some specific warnings about it in the New Testament. Ephesians 5:3. And this one is talked about a lot in the New Testament, because again, it's one of our weaknesses. If we didn't have covetousness, we wouldn't even have the need for all of these storage facilities, would we? Because when the garage is full, then what do? You go hire a storage unit and fill that up with things and pay rent every month for stuff to sit in a shed. Sorry if that's convicting. Anyway, Ephesians 5:3. I'm actually not. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. God says that what becomes saints is definitely not covetousness, that it's unbecoming to a saint. That's what he says here in Ephesians 5:3. Let's look at another one, 1 Timothy 6, 1 Timothy 6:9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now we all know 1 Timothy 6:10 pretty well. The love of money is the root of all evil. But look at the next phrase. Which while some coveted after. Money is not evil. That's not what the verse says. I've heard people misquote it many times. Say, oh, the Bible says money is the root of all evil. That's not what it says, is it? It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. It's not the money itself. It's the love of it. And that's what he says here. Which while some coveted after, wanting more, wanting more, wanting more. And then Hebrews 13:5. Every Christian quotes the second half of Hebrews 13:5. Constantly. They may not know it by heart. They may not know the reference, but every Christian quotes Hebrews 13:5, the second half. But when I hear people quote it, they very rarely quote the whole verse. They just quote the last phrase. So let's look at it in context. Amen? Let your conversation, that word conversation means your behavior, what you do with your life, be without covetousness. So covetousness is in this very, very frequently quoted verse. And be content with such things. So things are there too. As ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's all one verse, isn't it? We're always quoting, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But the first part of the verse is, let your life be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said. So if covetousness is ruling our lives, we can't quote Hebrews 13:5. It doesn't work that way. That's cheating. Amen. So if you know the last half, go ahead and learn the first half. Learn it as a single verse. And then Colossians chapter 3 is the best one. Let's turn there. In verse 2. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. That's why I saved it for last. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And then verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is, idolatry. That's in God's word, isn't it? He says that covetousness is idolatry. So when John finishes his epistle, look there, 1 John 5:21, now we have a better understanding. Go to 1 John 5:21 of what he was talking about. Because when we hear this word idols or idolatry, we immediately think of little figurines on the mantle. But God just said that covetousness is idolatry. So wanting more, wanting things, as it said there in the Exodus, wanting your neighbor's wife, wanting your neighbor's manservants, wanting your neighbor's ox, wanting your neighbor's car, and so forth, wanting things is idolatry. And John finishes his amazing epistle written to Christians. Last verse, 1 John 5:21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. So now we know that idolatry is not just a violation of the second commandment, which is the graven image thing, but for us as Christians, idolatry includes covetousness. So that makes that kind of brings it home, doesn't it? And then if we could look at 2 Timothy 3, we'll see that God promised us that it would also be an earmark of the end times. We all know we're in the end times. We don't know what that means time-wise, but we know that we are in the end times. As far as the return of Jesus, it's going to be soon. And look what it says, verse 2, 1 Timothy 3, for men, talking about the end time, shall be lovers of their own selves, And then look at the second one, covetous. We find ourselves in one of the most covetous times ever, don't we? That it's just all about getting more stuff. Getting more. Getting something different. We're all weak here. We all struggle with this. But with all these warnings, Jesus said, beware of it. In Luke 12, Paul said, it doesn't become saints that our conversation should be without it completely. In other words, our overall behavior. And then in Colossians, we're told that it's idolatry. So thou shalt not covet is a New Testament command, but also a huge warning for us as God's children. We're all weak here, and we need to just remember it's a sin just like any other sin, and that if it's gotten a hold of us, we need to repent of it as the Holy Spirit convicts and deal to it. Amen? But thou shalt not covet. What a warning. And if we look around us, it amazes us, doesn't it, how much of this world runs on covetousness. When you think about it, how much it's just almost the fire that fuels the engine of a lot of what happens out there in the industries. It's about stuff, getting people more stuff that they really don't even need necessarily. So thou shalt not covet. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are grateful for your word. Thank you for convicting us tonight about this sin that is idolatry, that is not for saints. Lord, that takes away our contentment. And I pray that we would be honest with you about where we are in this matter. And Lord, if we are weak here, that we would deal to it with the help of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we might keep things sweet with you. So thank you for speaking to our hearts in this matter of covetousness. We love you and pray in Christ's name. Amen.